This is F1 Debrief, Getting Inside Somebody's Head for Dummies, Chapter 1. On this show, we discuss why Anthony Davidson should make a comeback, who is enjoying too much champagne, and talking more and less. Well, hello, faithful listeners. Is there anyone still out there? I want to proudly proclaim we're back, but every time we do that, we disappear again.
You have ruined Side Podcast.
I do that.
You and your so-called life.
Yeah.
You've taken this show off the air for far too long, and no amount of apologising will make up for it.
I didn't apologise. Maybe I should.
You should apologise, but I won't accept it.
Okay. We have done one show recently, and it caused quite a lot of consternation.
I don't know. We get grief when we don't do shows. We get complaints that, where's all the podcasts gone? Why aren't you guys doing shows anymore? And then we do a show, and we get all the complaints, because nobody agrees with anything we say in the show. We cannot win. We just can't win.
We can't win. But the thing is, no one has to agree with us. That's fine. But mostly people say, you shouldn't be saying these things. You shouldn't have an opinion. Although, it's fair for everyone to have an opinion.
What complaints have we had after the last show, then?
Well, Michael,
have you got a list?
Michael said, I'm a fan of your enjoyable and quality shows. However, this was not one of them. To say something like, these guys have no idea what they're doing and calling them incompetent is a pretty bold thing to do without knowing the background facts that lead to a decision. Now, I would like to say that you have always called people incompetent. This is not new.
Since day one. Always with the bold, grand statements. Always with the unfounded, ungrounded statements. And I don't care.
And Edwin said, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to be frank here. And this is not the first time you've put your foot in it. Before you make rash statements, look it up first. I'm sure you're familiar with Google and Wikipedia. You might just find a guy like Lotterer in there. And he carries on to defend Lotterer.
Oh, that bit, right?
But
yeah.
I had to say, we didn't actually say Lotterer was a bad driver. We said he didn't have any F1 experience, which actually I think Google backs that up.
It occurs to me that if you were looking for specifically an LMP driver to sit in your Formula One car for a race weekend, and you wanted somebody who was maybe still an active F1 driver doing, say, simulator work, and who also happened to be at a Grand Prix, so you didn't have to pay their flights or travel, why not Anthony Davidson?
Interesting.
Surely he comes first before Lotterer. I mean, there are so many drivers that would come before Lotterer. Well, and Lotterer didn't do a bad job.
I thought he did a fine job and he was very professional, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it still was a very random choice.
Absolutely. The most random choice.
After that same show, Jason said, hi both, I love the show and keep up the good work. However, I was annoyed by the opinions shown.
That's my favourite, by the way. Love the show, but... Always with the butts.
Well, you've got to start with the good news.
Right.
Break you in gently.
Okay.
However, I was annoyed by the opinion shown in the recent podcast as to who was right and wrong between Hamilton and Nico at Spa. Mm. F1 is full of experts and people who think they know what's going on, who's
including
right
me.
Who's wrong, etc. Yourself and Mr. C were both saying Hamilton lied about the Mercedes meeting, as the written document stated Nico did not say he drove into Hamilton. Of course, it's not going to say that. And Toto Wolff will also defend Nico because he could still get fined, penalised by the FIA, and no one at Mercedes wants that to happen. Hamilton said... He basically said, now to me, that means Nico was in the same mood as he was on the podium and when he insulted the British fans saying we need to read the rule book. We all read it at Monaco, Nico. Nico's body language and attitude would have been, it was my right to be there and why do I have to move out of the way for you all the time? Now to me, Nico is basically stating an arrogant opinion when in fact Hamilton was in first officially, had track position officially and was entitled to the racing line. The guy behind has more opportunity to read a situation and avoid an accident, hence why Mercedes were annoyed. Also, Nico has no right to demand a racing driver should let him pass if he is fighting him for the championship, also leaving space in Dubai. I don't remember a race in Dubai.
I presume maybe Bahrain, but carry on.
Bahrain or Abu Dhabi, I don't know which.
Ah.
Think back to when Nico in a Mercedes pushed Hamilton at McLaren back then, completely off the track. Nico is upset and playing games because without them and car failure, he can't beat Hamilton every weekend on pure pace. Yeah, now and again he can out-qualifying, but we all know Lewis is the quicker driver. To say Nico is smart and an intelligent driver, I'd say he's showing his true colours. Yes, I am a Hamilton fan and I feel that Rosberg's actions are bringing the sport into disrepute. But hey, we're all entitled to our views and opinions, but when someone spoils the racing, I think they don't deserve any defending. And lastly, sometimes you need to read between the lines. Just felt I needed my say on what's been a tense season. Thanks.
Is that Jason?
That's from Jason.
Jason, I hope you feel better for that. Now you've got that off your chest.
I do love a good little rant, and you can see he starts off well and it gets faster and faster and typing. This is what I think.
And Dubai, yes, we ended up in Dubai. It may be one of Bernie's races for next year, you know? It could
happen.
Probably, yeah. Probably sown the seed of an idea there for Bernie. We could go there next. One thing that does strike me from this entire Nico Hamilton conversation is that getting inside somebody's head for dummies, chapter one, that book. If you were trying to get under someone's skin and trying to...
Is there such a book? And if not, can we write it?
I think Formula One drivers could contribute a lot to it, actually. Yeah. But as anyone who's read that will know, if you're trying to get inside somebody's head, telling them that you did something on purpose, it's a surefire way to wind them up. Now, it doesn't matter if you did do it on purpose. If you're trying to convince somebody that you did, telling them outright in a closed and private environment, which post-race debriefs always have been, or normally have been for the last 50 years. They were until Lewis Hamilton came along. That would be a great place to say something to your rival, which only they would know, or only they and the team who are also sworn to secrecy would know. Now, Rosberg couldn't have guessed that Hamilton would then go and repeat that to the press. So perhaps he just decided that it looked 50-50 on the screen. He thought, I'll tell you what, I'll just say da-da-da-da on purpose. Because, you know, Hamilton might believe it, and then that's one more thing for him to get paranoid about.
But it's just like what happened at Monaco. Rosberg didn't even have to say whether he did it or not. Hamilton thought he did. And once you think that that's happened, that's in your head, whether you find out later that he didn't. It's always going to be in there. Mm,
that is true, yes. Just the act of doing something that looks borderline. You know, he could have totally misinterpreted it. Rosberg could have absolutely said it. But didn't really do it on purpose, or he could have done it on purpose. You know, we'll never know. Only Rosberg will know, just like in Monaco qualifying.
Part of our recent hiatus came because of my trip to the US and other such gallivanting about. I had talked about wanting to find the F1 race, whichever one it was, while I was away, but I couldn't do it. It was on NBC or NBC Sports, which I couldn't find. I just think I was quite useless at trying to find it or knowing where it was. It wasn't on my hotel TV. After that, I was kind of stuffed. But as always, talking about the state of the coverage in the US generated quite a lot of feedback. Gary said NBC Sports Network is not a PPV channel. It has F1 and it is widely available. Other options include a VPN with a UK server, which is far too much effort for me.
In a hotel with hotel Wi-Fi?
No. He said, yes, torrent feeds are illegal and slow on bad Wi-Fi, but easy to do on a Mac. The VPN would not work with Sky and wouldn't work in a hotel either.
Also, it wouldn't work for a live race. You'd have to watch it afterwards and you can just come home and do that. You knew you would be back here and you knew it was recorded. What you were looking for is a live, easy access solution to Formula One television in the States. And you couldn't do it. We couldn't achieve that. Even with knowing that you were going to be there and the pre-planning and everything, it's just Formula One is a hard sport to follow wherever you are in the world.
It wasn't just me, though. My colleague that was there with me wanted to watch the MotoGP, which was on Fox Sports, and we couldn't get that either. She managed to wait the whole week until we got back without getting the results, which I thought was incredible.
She didn't get ruined for her.
No, I was straight on Twitter finding out what was happening. She was like, nope, I don't want to know. I just don't know how you can do that in this day and age.
So it's not just Formula One that has a problem with international broadcasts. It's sports in general.
Motorsports, definitely, probably sports in general. Scott says, in your June the 5th podcast, so that tells you how long ago it was, you talked about how lousy the TV coverage is in the United States. That is not a lie. The commentators are good, but it's obvious they dumb it down for the new viewers. There are some times when we don't even get to see the post-race interviews. The worst part is when they move the coverage between the networks. When Monaco was on, they had the race on NBC, but as soon as it was over, they cut the post-race coverage to the NBC Sports channel. Since I did not record both channels on my DVR, I missed the trophy ceremony and the post-interviews. If there was a way to order Sky and BBC, I would gladly pay whatever they charge to get proper F1 coverage here in the States.
It's notable actually this week, and I couldn't tell you why, but on iTunes in the UK, Rush is the number one sports film purchased or rented or whatever, and number two in the charts is Senna. And therefore, if ever there was a case, I mean, I don't know how long, what, Rush came out last year and Senna 2 years ago, 3 years ago, however long it was, if ever there was a case of money being left on the table by Bernie Eccleston, it's downloadable post-race content. And it's crazy that it's so hard to do. It's crazy that people are willing to give their hard-earned cash to watch the sport they love, and the people who are responsible for allowing that aren't interested in collecting that cash.
And a note from Mike says, hello, Side Podcast. I'm a subscriber from the States and I've just been catching up on some of your podcasts. I wish I would have listened on time to tell Christine how to watch the races in the US. NBC Sports Network picked up the rights last season, so they broadcast them, and most sports bars have NBCSN. There are a few problems, however. They don't air FP1, and if the ever-riveting Tour de Bicycle race is on, they'll show that over the GP and air it another random time of the day. The other loosely legal way to watch is on Ustream, but you have to hope for the best, and it's usually pretty lousy quality. Anyway, I wanted to say that I love your podcast and I intend on listening in as long as you're making them. As an American fan, it's quite difficult to get quality news and perspectives on the sport. The only thing we get is Steve Matchett talking about tyres ad nauseum and brief moments of Will Buxton doing his best to sneak in information that actually matters. So thanks and go Red Bull. That's from Mike.
And go Will Buxton.
It's not all bad news, though. Marcus says, howdy, hey. People will pitch a bitch about everything, won't they? The only real rant is that Bob Varsha is no longer at the booth. Lee Diffie is nice and knowledgeable, but Varsha is way, way better. Other than that, NBC airs FP2 qualifying, pre-race, the race, and post-race. And because NBC owns and controls other channels, they switch things around a bit to ensure everything is aired. Plus, but don't trust this, I think NBC offers live streaming of FP1 and FP3. And if Buxton's show sticks, what else do people want? And as far as the level, even for a guy that has been with F1 since the early 70s and still has his racing license, there's something to learn with every show. It's all nonsense ranting. Cheers, Mark.
So Mark likes the fact that they're switching things around. I can't keep up here. That's, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing that they keep chopping and changing?
I think it depends on your point of view.
Right. Excellent. And my point of view is I haven't seen it. I don't know. Unfortunately, I'd love to maybe catch it at some point and just to catch it. I mean, I really haven't seen, apart from the Off the Grid series that Will does, I've not really seen a full on Will Buxton show, so I can't really comment.
We do hear him commentating on GP2.
Yes, that's true.
But that's not presenting and it's talking not, about
it's,
F1.
No, it's not behind the scenes. It's not any of the vignette stuff. It's not all the best bits. It's just straight up commentary. Which is fine. It's very good. But yeah, we are relying on everybody else, people who are in the States, to feed back their opinions. So if you agree with any of that you've heard, or have an entirely different view on Formula One coverage in the US, please do get in touch, because we can only pass on that information. We are purely the conduit to getting those opinions and those views out there.
I tried to get first-hand experience. I failed.
You absolutely failed us, I have to say. This was your one side podcast trip overseas.
I was going to be a roving reporter. Couldn't find it.
Useless.
I think I may have also discussed nipping over the channel for a quick peek at Frank on the French F1 broadcasting, because Bert says the Canal Plus can be found on a couple of torrent sites. I like listening to the French sessions for Jacques Villeneuve, and because the French podcast I listen to likes to bash him, sometimes rightly so. I will admit that given my time zone, it's often convenient to listen to multiple sessions in a day, i.e. listen to an FP2 live at the same time as torrenting an FP1 or two, and then listen to them as a radio show during the day/commute. Cheers, and that's from Bert.
There's a French F1 podcast.
Wow, I'm going to need to have a listen to that.
What is the name of this podcast and why aren't you already listening to it?
I don't know, but it's worth saying that I don't need to go over the channel to watch the French F1 show now, because Frank is going to be racing in Formula E.
Very soon.
He's going to be on my TV.
Very, very soon. Yes, and I can tell you're very happy about that. It's just the way it should be, right?
It's
Frank
only,
in a car.
It's only been God knows how many years.
No, you saw him in IndyCar. You definitely saw him in IndyCar earlier this year. He wasn't in it for very long, but you cannot argue that you've not seen Frank race for a while.
Last time we were talking, we went a little bit local radio and suggested people send in their, oh, when were you watching a race in a funny time?
I
and
love that feature. Like that. Was that the last time we did a show? It feels like forever ago.
I don't remember. Hmm. But we've had a couple of entries. Anyway, Paul says, I once watched an F1 race from a corporate box at Wembley. I'm not a big football fan, so I stayed in the box drinking champagne and watching F1 on the TV. No competition. I've also watched it from a box at Donington Park during a MotoGP race. This was more of a struggle, as I do like MotoGP.
And I'd imagine the engine noises would conflict.
Well, that'd be quite confusing.
You'd have things behind you and in front of you. It'd be stereo. It'd be surround sound. Surround sound motorsport. But yeah, football and F1 racing, I could see how that would work. If not slightly rude to the people who put you in the corporate box.
That's true.
Perhaps wasting that opportunity there.
But as long as you're enjoying the champagne, I think that's all that really matters. Julian in Mexico says, I remember that some episodes ago you were asking for the most awkward scenario to watch an F1 race. Well, I don't know if this qualifies, but I've seen several races on my iPhone while attending weddings. But undoubtedly, the one that I remember most is one where my girlfriend was so drunk. She was hugging me while sitting on a table, and I was just watching the race. She couldn't even speak. When the race was over, we dragged the drunk lady out of there, and off we went. We all had a lot of fun that day.
I love the idea that she had to stay until the race was over.
Yeah.
You may not get dragged out of here until this race has run.
I don't care how drunk you are, you wait until the end.
You wait for that checkered flag or you sober up. That's your two choices. I like it. That's fantastic. So weddings then, presumably because they're always held at annoying times like weekends.
Saturdays, Sundays.
Terrible time for a wedding. Always clashing with qualifying or the race. And never during the off season. You've got to focus on that. If you're thinking about planning a wedding, make sure summer break or off season if you've got any Formula One fans who might need to attend.
Our last little bits of feedback. I've saved the best till last. These are a couple of voicemails, and they are technically quite old, but somehow still relevant.
How old?
I'm not going to say. You'll sort of understand. They are somehow still relevant. So first, we have Davin.
Daniel Ricciardo, there are no words. I just finished watching the race, and I was just, all I could go was, that's all I could do for like 30 seconds. And I was running around hugging random people and like, oh my God, I was so happy. You have no idea. I mean, I know that it took our Mercedes failure. Apparently it was a software failure for that to happen, but I don't care. And that race was exciting because of the drama with both Mercedes cars and all the other Mercedes runners. I feel really bad for Massa and Perez, and they are not my favorite drivers on the grid, but their potential results were going to be so good that you just, oh my God, you just, like, my heart went out to Felipe Massa, because, I mean, if he has luck, it's always bad.
So that was after Canada, obviously, Ricciardo's first win, but it's relevant still because Ricciardo keeps on winning, and Massa keeps on crashing, and the Mercedes pair keep self-combusting.
F1 season, this season is quite repetitive. The pattern, it's over and over and over again. I wonder if we could take that exact voicemail, play in a couple of races time, see if it's still just as relevant.
See where we're at the end of the season. Next we have Oton, who has more to say about Mercedes.
Hello Christine, hello Mr. C. Just a quick comment on Mercedes. I'm fed up of reading about how Mercedes is unable to handle the rivalry between the drivers, how Toto Wolff says, oh, they don't have to be friends, but it's nice if they make up anyway, and so on. Because if they're clever, why would Mercedes want to act as if everything is rosy between Hamilton and Rosberg? Already now, they're virtually guaranteed to win the Constructors' Championship, and obviously they'll just as likely win the Drivers' Championship. And for the team bosses, that's the most important thing. Second most important, this rivalry will keep Mercedes in the media spotlight throughout the season, and that's exactly what the big bosses in Stuttgart want. If they just force the drivers to settle down and pretend everything is nice and harmonious, we would all too soon be back to the stories about how championship is boring, how something must be done about the races becoming more unpredictable, and so on. And Mercedes certainly doesn't want that to happen.
That is entirely logical, Oton, but you would think that a team and an operation that's interested in marketing wouldn't want the season to be dull. They'd want action, they want to be talked about, and they want to be the centre of attention. But we know for certain that last year Red Bull Racing were more than happy to let Sebastian Vettel win 9 races in a row without any form of resistance. And they just happily lapped up those victories, walked the championship to the degree that most people turned off before the end of the year, except for the hardcore fans, didn't bother them in the slightest. So it depends. It's very hard to, I mean, these corporate animals are very hard to predict.
And obviously that was sent a while ago, but you'd say that Mercedes are happy to have that competition up to a point, and then it definitely crosses a line where it's not good for the team anymore.
I don't have any complaints this year about how Mercedes are going racing. I think we owe them a lot of respect. We know how bad it can be if a team favours one driver and if a team is only interested in taking the spoils rather than providing a show. And Mercedes haven't got enough credit for that, and I will not tire of giving them repeated credit for doing so, because they deserve it. They deserve no less. They could have killed and ruined the season from the first race, and they haven't. They've chosen not to do that. It's caused them so much grief. They are probably regretting it, and maybe next year they'll do it differently. But right now, no issues, no complaints. I wouldn't change a thing. And if I was in charge of them, that's how I'd want to do it too.
That's all the amazing feedback we've got up to this point. If you want to have your say, you can visit the contact form, sidepodcast.com/contact, and leave your thoughts there. You can tweet us at sidepodcast or email me, christine@sidepodcast.com. I just wanted to highlight
If before you carry on, if any of our lovely listeners were to leave feedback in any form, would you guarantee here and now that their feedback might be heard before Christmas?
I will maybe do my
sooner
very best.
Rather than later.
Can
we promise to do another show maybe within a month?
I promise it won't be as long as it was this time.
Okay, fine, continue.
I just wanted to highlight a couple of things that have been happening on the site. Lukey went to the final test of pre-season Formula E testing at Donington Park and wrote up a good little review of what he saw and what he thinks is going to happen. And it's amazing that the start of the season is just a week away.
Yes. And it was a great post. It's a great insight. I did lots of things I didn't know about Formula E, the way the operation is running, and what it's like to attend a test, and what the cars sound like as well. Great post from Lukey. Link in the show notes.
Always. Also, I posted a new mini-series in August, Races to Remember. It highlights various races from across the decades, ones that you may have forgotten, ones you may never even have heard of. 7 short shows, and I think worth listening to.
And judging by the downloads for those shows, people very much are into your miniseries. Are you going to do more?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do more. It's great fun to do. And also, I have to say thanks to Owen, who sent me an idea for a potential new series as well.
Your next new series?
Possibly.
Okay. Look out for that one very soon. I'm just trying to get you to stop signing me up for stuff. I want to get like a commitment from you to do more shows. When will we hear your next miniseries, Christine? Tell us now.
Soon. The other thing I wanted to point out was the rankings, because I'm getting ongoing ranking suggestions coming in, which are all brilliant. Hamilton is currently in the lead of the championship, but Daniel Ricciardo is close behind him. Daniel and his smile. And also, there were several suggestions for Formula E rankings, and I'm going to say right here, right now, that's not going to work.
Because Frank Montagne
There would only be
it.
One winner.
Yeah, every year,
every
over
year.
And over again. Yep. Nice idea, though.
Of course, the one thing on the site I haven't mentioned yet is our latest behind-the-scenes post, in which we revealed that things on Side Podcast are changing just a little bit.
Just a lot of it.
Just a lot a bit. At the end of this season, we're going to shut down the comments and the live threads and all that stuff.
Major upheaval. If you've been following Side Podcast for the last 7.5 years, the comments were a major, major part of what we do, especially in terms of podcasting for live shows. That's the biggest input the comments have. But also just in terms of building the community, getting feedback from the community, all the things that we do relating to that, it's going to go. It's a big, big change. If you just listen to these shows, if you just tune in, if you're only interested in the audio, it's largely meaningless. We don't cover the comments in too much depth on these shows, but if you're primarily someone who interacts with the community via the comments, this is actually quite a big shift.
Yes, well, as you can see from this show, as we've dedicated a whole podcast to feedback, communicating and talking with you lovely lot is important to us. It's just we want to do it slightly differently.
We want to make that's exactly what it is. It's just a different way, a different prioritization from us. You could argue that these shows have suffered due to the amount of effort we've put into the website. And we want to swing that back.
I was in another country.
Well, yeah, but it's not just that, just generally. The website's taken quite a lot of our time and quite a lot of our effort. And there's nothing we can really cut from the website without making a major upheaval. It's all quite well integrated. And a lot of it is tied around the comments. And by reducing our workload in that area, we think we can put more time into these kind of things. We can move the needle in a positive direction and essentially move this forward.
As evidenced by this very show, you probably can't tell the difference, but I have a new microphone and it's amazing.
Yes, there was talk, there was concerns, I think, when we mentioned that the comments were ending on Side Podcast, that Side Podcast was ending. That is not the case.
No.
It's the exact opposite. We are moving forward in terms of, we've got huge plans, which we won't go into here because they're long and sprawling and very vague at the moment, but they involve a lot of investment. One of which is a new microphone. And I don't know if you sound different or not. We'll listen at the end of the show and see if anyone can tell the difference. But we are investing in terms of, you know, our money. We're putting our money into more side podcast.
We are literally putting our money where our mouth is.
Oh, that's terrible. That's so awful.
We have to end the show on that note. Come on.
That's just, it's bad in so many ways. Shut up. We're not ending the show on that rubbish. That's so cheesy. I've got nothing now. We're just, stick with side podcast. We're not going anywhere, but if you're in the comments, they're gone. Oh, you've ruined it. You've literally ruined it. You've ruined side podcast again.